Hello and welcome, Florian Rossio-Fischer.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Hello back to our listeners. As a reminder, let's talk value in healthcare in loose sequence. I'm having interesting conversations and dialogues with experts out of the 5P ecosystem, providers, pharma, payer, policymakers, and patients, and their ideas and thoughts on how we can continue to break down silos in order to unleash more efficiency and at the end, value to patients and everybody else in the ecosystem. So with this, it's my distinct pleasure today to welcome Florian, who joins us from Geneva and is currently working in his capacity of an innovator and somebody at the forefront of science and IT solutions and value solutions in a provider environment right now. So Florian, maybe the best is you briefly introduce yourself, what you stand for, and also your current environment of Hôpital de la Tour.
Yes, sure. Thank you very much, Verena. So just a few words about Hôpital de la Tour, I think, to give you a bit of context. We are a full-fledged hospital with a 24/7 emergency department. We have an intensive care unit, as well as all the internal medicine specialties. But we're also a private institution, which gives us the agility and flexibility, which is very much welcomed in this context. And our focus lies on medical excellence, health outcomes in general, but also patient experience. And value-based healthcare has been, for the last 3 years, really a central piece of our strategy. And just maybe about myself, so I'm the head of innovation and I take care of bringing kind of the latest technologies to physicians and caregivers of Hôpital de la Tour, and try to enable them to integrate the state-of-the-art solutions in their everyday lives.
Yeah, and I think this is a great mentioning. So as I said, you're always at the forefront of the latest innovation, and you mentioned your central theme of patient experience and outcomes and excellence. So what does actually in that context value mean to you in healthcare? How would you describe that, what good looks like, and or maybe what some frustrations on the way of getting there are? Sometimes it's easier to understand what we aim for by describing what doesn't work right now. So you're free to say what good looks like or maybe what's in the way to get there.
I mean, it's a good question. It's a tough one, actually, because value in general is created when a service improves the situation you're in. And from an economic point of view, it kind of means that you as a person would be willing to spend money to get the service if it brings value to you. And in healthcare, I think getting treated is quite straightforward and gives you a lot of value. But as often, the devil is in the details. And if we look at every single step of the care pathway, not every single action is bringing the same amount of value to patients. And this is why we need to look very closely and have a granular view on things in healthcare, because even in some cases, some actions can be detrimental to patients, so can take away some value in this process.
Yeah, and I think you, as you say, I mean, I like your particular focus around patient experience and the patient journey. And as you say, not every step brings value because we kind of can't even measure the whole dollar or Swiss franc flow over the patient journey, right? And so there's this fragmentation. And as you said, not every action then necessarily leads to value.
And I think also a lot is emotional. A lot is about the quality of life. How can you value in terms of francs or dollars, less risk to get reoperated, for example, to come back to the hospital, to get back to these levels of pains that you can't live with. To not have this risk is a tremendous value, but it's really hard to measure.
Yeah, that's right. So in your current environment and job at Hôpital de la Tour and head of innovation, what are some of the themes that you're pursuing right now as a priority to move the needle on getting better in terms of generating value for everyone?
Yeah, I think I really like this podcast as well, because I think innovation in healthcare cannot only be achieved by providers. This is just not possible. We need actors from all across the five P's to work together to achieve this innovation. This is why I also have a hat as a head of strategic partnerships, because we really try to work together on co-creating new models, new solutions with insurance companies, with the pharma, with medtech, and of course with many startups, to bring this innovation not as a provider only or provider focused innovation, but as a really a healthcare innovation.
So how does that feel to you to do that on an everyday level? Because I think the vision is great, and I think many people can subscribe. And then, as you said earlier, the devil is in the detail in the everyday job and pick up the phone, call that insurance company, or run into a meeting with the policymaker, and you know the meeting's full of hurdles and barriers and why things don't work. So how does that feel? Oh, how do you experience this experience of trying to work across sectors strategically?
I mean, it's an emotional roller coaster, because it goes from a lot of joy and meeting a lot of really interesting people from other companies and creating networks and exchanging innovative ideas, but also quite frustrating, because talking is beautiful, doing is much harder. And when we go into the details and when we really try to make things happen, this is when it gets complicated. And then, a simple letter of intent can take, up to 12 months to get signed by all parties, because there are today in the current system competing interests and kind of misalignments of incentives that make it harder. And the job is really to find the small holes in the system that would allow us to go in the right direction without taking the one card from the house of cards, where that would make it all fall together.
That's nice. So do you have any... So I like what you said, like the joy and the frustration, it's the yin and yang probably of healthcare. So what is the secret sauce for you, Florian Rossio-Fischer, in terms of those little steps and little examples where you feel things have worked and you were able to co-create maybe that letter of intent in 4 weeks instead of 12 months? Or what are some other little things and pieces where you felt that worked really nice and unleashed that sense of joy? What's the secret sauce that made that happen? Anything you are striving to repeat on an everyday level? What is it?
Yeah, I think what I've found to be quite successful is to focus on small steps. So really to dream big. And I think we all have this huge vision of a value-based healthcare system where all the five P's work together, have aligned incentives, et cetera. And this is what we want to do in their everyday life. But this is too big of a step to take at once. And what we need to do is to kind of, I don't want to say boring, but
yes,
pragmatic things that we need to do step by step. And the achievements are not so bright. There are small things, and this is the accumulation of the small things that will make pave the way towards this vision.
That's great. How can digital facilitate and enable or accelerate these little steps in your mind?
Yeah, I think this is a very good question, because one of the problem of our current system is the lack of trust between the actors, between the five P's. And this comes from a kind of asymmetry of information in this market. And historically, information was scarce, and everybody wanted to protect the information. So trying to build barriers rather than bridges. And this was increasing the problem of wrong incentives. And I think with digital and a lot of data, the data revolution, we're getting much more data. So it makes each piece of data much less valuable, because we have much more of it. And also in terms of integration of data and data systems, it makes it much easier to have a seamless integration and a trustworthy communication of information between the P's. And I think this is going to make it much easier to have this trust base that will allow us to move away from the old practices that would not bring us towards our vision and really pave the way to better partnerships in this context.
Yeah, amazing. Digital to restore or build trust. It's great through data. Fascinating. Do you have any examples in mind? Like, again, as you said, between the vision, so this would be the vision, and then how to enable this practically, because I know you've spent the last years on actually this piece of change management to work with providers or ever else around the VIFPs to walk the talk of innovation and digital. Any thoughts from an everyday example? You mentioned earlier from a process perspective, letter of intent, which I thought was an amazing example, because I have, even in clinical research, when we start clinical trial protocols, you know, the idea for the clinical study is there in no time, everybody agrees, and then it takes 2 years to write the protocol and write the contract. So I like these tangible examples. So any examples you have from your experience on the digital journey and transformation and change management?
Yeah, I think we have one value-based contract working at the moment with a medtech company, and it's quite cool, actually. It's also linked to data, because our agreement is that the equipment that we're buying from this medtech company is being paid only if we achieve certain levels of quality and outcomes. So it means to measure this quality, to measure these outcomes, and to measure them in a way that we trust they're not messing with them to gain from this agreement, and for them to trust that we're not tampering with them either to pay less. And this is, we're working currently with a third party, which is a startup from Switzerland, to bring together this data, connect it, and make sure that it's clean and safe for both party to work with. And we've decided to trust each other. It's a big leap in terms of partnership in relations that have historically been much more about putting prices down and negotiating rather than collaborating. So we put this trust around this platform, and we share the data about the outcomes of our patients, link them back to this equipment we're buying from the medtech company. And then we can see and say, okay, this patient needed to be to have a second intervention. So this is not going to be paid by us, because this is the fault of the medical device, or it was not enough enabled by the medical device. And therefore we can then save costs. But if we very good on quality, we also pay the full price.
In your experience, how important are relationships in making all of this a reality, in terms of maybe legacy quality of a relationship with the partner or stakeholder, as well as the future outlook of a common project, and the just kind of this transactional, today we sign a deal, I give you something, you give me something back, versus thinking of our relationship in the future and how we will create multiple projects and multiple value over time. What are your thoughts out of your experience in terms of relationship?
I think a lot is also linked to, how should I put it, to stories we tell ourselves about the others. And the other as this construct of people, this mistrust we have regarding other partners or other players in the market. Because of course, historically, the others were trying to rip us off and to profit from weaknesses, and we were in a meaning of defending our value and kind of this position, rather to say, okay, we all hand in hand can work together. And I think that we have now at Hôpital de la Tour people coming from different sectors, from the medtech, from pharma, from insurance companies. We kind of bring all these views, and we're like, hey, we were colleagues with these guys before. We know their vision is not to rip us off. The vision is really to achieve value also for patient. And today we had a workshop with a pharma company, and we put our mission next to their vision or their mission as well. And it was like, we're actually trying to do the same thing, basically. So let's work hand in hand.
Amazing. What a nice concluding almost remark, but we're not quite finished yet, because I wanted to ask you, I mean, we touched on a number of things quite holistically. Is there anything else before we definitely kind of conclude today's conversation that you wanted to share with the audience?
I mean, I think it's quite hard to say in which way it can go. We're really learning. There is no one single perfect recipe for success. There is no one example to follow. There are a lot of things happening, but I think my understanding of the situation today is that we all need to learn. And to learn, we need to do, to try things out. And to try means also often to fail. So let's try to fail fast, to learn fast, and get better with time. Because, I mean, healthcare is super complex. It will be impossible to get all the details right from the beginning. So I think by, chopping the elephant, you can't eat an elephant in one bite, even in many bites. You need to chop it in very, very small bites. And the small bites often look almost a little bit ridiculous, but they're chewable. And the good thing with that is that you can advance. And bite by bite, we might chew the entire elephant.
Merci beaucoup, Florian Rossio-Fischer.